Last week I talked about dirt and tomatoes, which will be the first tape of the tape series called You're Not Dirt. God had a plan before the beginning of the foundation of the world to make humans spirits, to make a spirit. And I've just finished the tape series Thursday night called The Remain Generation. Those of you that still believe in an escape rapture theology need to get that tape. I believe in the coming of the Lord. I believe the same Jesus that left into the cloud of witnesses with his clothes on will come back with his clothes on in a cloud of witnesses. But most Christians today, because we have not had the mystery of God revealed through the apostolic and prophetic voice, actually apostles fellowship around the mystery. The prophets proclaim the mystery, but the apostles fellowship around it, and they bring clarity to the mystery. All a prophet really is supposed to do in many cases is declare the will of God, and then the apostolic comes and brings a pattern of what has been declared. That's why John the Baptist preceded Jesus, the high apostle. The prophet will come and make a declaration, there is one who comes after me, but then the apostle comes and defines the one that came after. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Are you here today? So you've got to understand, we've been flowing in a John the Baptist mindset in the church. Repent. But I want you to be aware of something. John the Baptist died with his head cut off, still asking the question, is this Christ? Uh-oh, now we're going to meddle. See, the very one that proclaimed the way in his prison, in his jail, was asking the question, if you're the one, and Jesus sent word back to him and said, blind eyes are opened, the lame walk. The one who had preached, prepare the way, died in prison, having his head cut off. A servant of God. He had an impart revelation of the Messiah, but was still asking the question in prison. Are you the one? That's where the church has been. Repent! I believe in repentance. But now we're moving beyond that into tabernacling. Literally knowing him to the point that he has intermingled his very nature into us. This is the last move of the Spirit of God. This is the final. That is not a belittlement of John the Baptist, the great prophet. It's a type and shadow. It's a reminder to us. You can shout, repent, repent, and still not recognize whether the Messiah is the Messiah. And die with your mind, your head, your knowledge of God removed off of your shoulders. Are you here? We have walked in a John the Baptist radical declaration, which there's nothing wrong with it. But see, the apostolic revelation is, I've gone beyond preparing the way, I've become the way. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if any man come to me, that's what the Lord says. We are becoming the way. Prepare the way. Is everybody in the room with me here? Are you a John? Today, we're going to continue on You're Not Dirt. See, a dirt revelation is a sin consciousness. The soulical nature of man is to be motivated by sin consciousness. Preachers have preached from a position of sin consciousness. Prophets have prophesied from a position of sin consciousness. But God, through his love and his preordained plan, is now taking us from sin consciousness to God consciousness. Sin consciousness is laced and filled with guilt and shame and inferiority and pride. Because wherever there's shame and inferiority, there is the spirit of pride. Pride walketh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And so this sin consciousness has motivated teachers and preachers to identify the limitation of man rather than reveal the unlimitedness of the nature of God. And you are looking at a man who for 7 years of his life preached with every fiber of strength in his body out of a sin consciousness. And I saw people continue to be addicted, continue to get divorces, continue to go bankrupt, continue to be angry, continue to leave the church. And I had revealed every detail of their limitation to them. But I'm here to declare today that God says, in that day I will restore the booth or the tabernacle of David. See, the problem was the children of Israel went out to battle one day and they took the ark to try to intimidate the Philistines. And rather than intimidate the Philistines, the Philistines said, we must fight twice as hard, and they defeated Israel, even with the ark in their possession, because they misappropriated the power of God to something they wanted to accomplish themselves. That's what people do with their business. They try to appropriate the power of God to build their business rather than worship God and let God build their business. They try to appropriate the power of God to build a ministry rather than worship God and let God build the ministry. They try to build the church and use the power of God. They say things like, if God is real, bring that person in the wheelchair up here. And if God is real, listen, whether the person comes out of the wheelchair or not, God is still God. The reason we've not seen the miracles, we've tried to appropriate the power of God to build that which we want to do. That is the transition into the full apostolic. Paul did not try to use the power of God to do anything. He interrelated with God in such a level, he was literally the manifested presence of God walking in there. So was Peter. That's why when Peter walked down the street, bones would snap into place. Peter didn't try to use the power of God to heal anybody. Peter was the power of God. Can I tell you the secret to prepare for war radio? Don't you tell anybody. We're not trying to use the power to have a radio network. We're just revealing God. And there ain't enough devils in hell or angels in heaven or men on earth to stop the revealing of God. Are you trying to use the power? There are people who come to church because they think if they keep coming to church, God will keep blessing them. They're trying to use the power of God. Because you better understand, even ministry, they do ministry. They do street ministry. They do prison ministry. They do outreach ministry to nursing homes. They do ministry to the rich, ministry to the poor. Say, I'm going to use the power of God. And nothing really ever happens. There's no great revival. See, even when the children of Israel took that ark, knowing the power in the ark, they tried to intimidate their enemy with the ark, and God didn't do a thing. Finally, they had to bring that ark back, and guess who brought the ark back to its rightful place? David. The Davidic order brings a revelation of the purpose of the power of God is to let God do his own will through man rather than man do his will with the power of God. That's what we're coming out of. That's why I believe in divine appointments. That's why I believe God is obligated to expose everything that's out of order in our life, so that we would not use his power to continue to cover up our lack of character. That we would not use his name and the identity of Christianity to cover up the little foxes that are spoiling the vine, the leaven that is polluting the whole batch. You don't want to be in a Davidic ministry if you want to hide. You can't hide from the presence of God. We ought to rejoice when our wrong motives and our dysfunctions are exposed. We ought to rejoice and say, God, replace me trying to use your power to build something with your power. Come on, hear it, beloved. And the problem is we don't have a revelation of heaven or hell. We still are waiting for some angel to blow some horn. If you believe that, God wants to awaken you to the true nature of Christ himself. Some people think heaven is 150 acres on some beyond the planet. They think that there's mansions that God is building. How many of you were taught Jesus is building a mansion for you, and you're going to live in one, and your wife's going to live two blocks down the street from you? How many of you were taught that Jesus is building a mansion for you? You didn't read the Bible right. He said, "My Father's house, there are many mansions. They're already built. I'm preparing a place for you." I'm starting to get drunk, so I'm going to have to preach to you as a drunk man this morning. See, we've taken the power of God and tried to use it for ourselves. God's through with it. See, human strength can build the Tower of Babel. Human strength can build a tower that goes all the way to the heavens. And then men claim God did this thing. God said, I'm not going to be mocked anymore with the ability of men claiming it's me. I say that from God. I will not be mocked by men and women with human ability doing things that are not my will and then giving me credit for my power doing it. I will cut myself off from the blasphemer, and I shall cut myself off from the mocker. And that power stayed with the Philistines, and they saw the power of that thing, and finally David went up to get it, and they even tried to bring the ark back with a man-made way. Put it on a cart. And David found out when you do that, people start dropping dead on you. This is a wake-up call to the church. Hello? So, we are being delivered from sin consciousness to God consciousness. God, don't make me say that. Walking in a God consciousness is the ultimate channeling experience. It's not the channeling of demons, it's the channeling of God himself. That's what Peter was doing in the fifth chapter of Acts. See, the church is afraid of mysticism. They think mysticism is for demons, but actually true mysticism is from God. Paul was the epitome of the ultimate mystic. This will make religious devils really mad. Because the problem is, we thought if we've hidden behind some type of articulation that makes God inferior to the hour that we are staying holy. Are y'all still here with me? God is the supreme highest of all mysticism. In fact, his mysticism is so far superior to that of demonic activity that the demonic mysticism is now seduced men who want to use the power of God for the wrong reason on the earth. And most of what's happening in most so-called church services today is nothing more than demonic mysticism. Hypnotism of lies, of misdefinition of who God really is. But God said to Jeremiah, I've called you to tear up, root out, overthrow, replant, and rebuild. The ark is coming back to the house of David. The power and presence of God is coming there, and God is looking for someone who's after his heart and not after their own agenda. That's why Paul told those that continue to want to be circumcised and do the feast. Look, people say, you know, I had a lady call the other day. She said she met a man in the park that said, do you honor the Sabbath? I said, look at that guy the next time you see him and say, I am the Sabbath. You still think a day of the week is a Sabbath. You are still in a sin consciousness. If you still think a feast is the day on the calendar, you haven't yet discovered you're the feast. He is the man of bread that came down from heaven, and if he's the man of bread and we become one with him, we're the bread of life. That was what Jesus came for, is to make us what he was, what he is. As he is, so are we in the world. That's what the Bible says, as he is. But sin consciousness puts him somewhere and us somewhere else. Sin consciousness has man still trying to work to win the approval of God. If I go to Bible school, then I'll be validated as spiritual. Woe to any CKCI student that's at school, because if you think when you leave the school, you're more valid. You were valid before you got here, and you'll be valid when you leave. Sin consciousness keeps man in a shameful, guilt-ridden, limited state of trying to win the approval of man and God. That's why I read out of Mark 7 last week. You hypocrites, the prophet Isaiah rightfully prophesied what he said. You honor me with your lips, but your heart, your being is far from me. He said, you spout about me, but you do not live as me. We are to be taught of God. This is no big deal. It's receiving it. Our focus is being changed from the limitation of sin nature to the liberation of the divine nature. We are in a transition. Going from Saul to David is going from using limited things to try to win the approval of God to walking in the unlimited as your nature. How many times did you inhale and exhale today? How many times did you blink your eyes today? It's your nature to inhale and exhale because that's your being. Unlimitedness is your nature once you have come to the new man, Christ. There are only two men in the earth, the corporate man, Adam, who was formed from the dust of the earth and became a living soul. And then there's the new man, the life-giving spirit, the living soul is limited. The living soul is focused on the mind, the will, the emotions, the ability. The life-giving spirit is focused on the release of the nature of one greater than he. In other words, the soul nature or the sin nature by itself, if it's not clothed. See, an unclothed soul is a sinful soul. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they looked for skin to cover their nakedness, because now their soul was without a covering. So God gave them skin. But the second man, Adam, did what the first Adam could not do. There is a distinction between the second Adam, because the first Adam, the Holy Spirit says, was a living soul, but the second Adam, the new creation, was a life-giving spirit. Let me put it to you this way. You know if you're in the sin nature or the God nature by whether you're trying to absorb or whether you're trying to project. Because solical life without a covering absorbs. But a life-giving spirit projects. A living soul takes in, but a life-giving spirit says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. My meat is to release. I'm a very hard man to live with these days. Ask my wife. Oh, not that I'm evil or mean. I'm going through this transition. I'm going through this transition that my mind can't even comprehend. It's that what I know, I can't comprehend. That there's something groaning within me that I can't even articulate. That I'm being changed, for my spirit groans for a heavenly body. But I am so indoctrinated to the soulical, tense skin. I'm addicted to the skin that covers my soul. But my spirit cries out for a heavenly body. I'm not talking about being sinful. I'm talking about the struggle between the soul that is clothed with the nature of Adam versus the spirit that cries to be clothed with a heavenly body. That's the struggle of man. That skin is full of pride. That skin that clothes that soul. See, all hell is a soul without a body. Hell is a place where souls without bodies live eternally. If a man dies and his soul is not covered with skin, and he has not been clothed with a heavenly body, he's in hell. Hell is a soul without a body. Yeah, hell is in the center of the earth. Hell is a place, but it's where souls without bodies live eternally. Christ did not come that when we put down this earthly body, that we would be left without a body. Because when Jesus was resurrected, he still had a body of substance, but he also had a body that he took with him to the Father. He even came back after being with the Father and walked through a closed door and ate food with this body. But this body was now a body that was unlimited. If you die without a heavenly body, your soul has no covering. That's why we need the truth. That's why I hope some of you realize you're living in the hour of unveiling and revelation. I can't even stand to turn on the TV or turn on the radio and listen to a shallow revelation of regurgitated worm-eaten manna of something from the 1950s anymore, because something inside of me is groaning to be clothed with a heavenly body. That's your struggle right now. If you keep trying to satisfy that skin that God gave Adam and Eve to cover this nakedness. See, when they fell, they were naked. And so they need a skin to cover that soul. When you look out at people who are still living by the sinful nature, all they are is souls covered with skin. But God says he's preparing a place. In my Father's house, there are many abodes. There are many abodes, many habitations. There are many eternal heavenly bodies. and I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, can you hear what the Spirit is saying? Corruptible shall put on incorruptible. Notice it says, corruptible shall put on. There comes a point where you put it on. You got to put on this heavenly body. Some of y'all are waiting to die to have somebody else put on your heavenly body. But you got to put on your heavenly body. These things and greater shall you do. Because you're not going to be clothed with limitation, but you will have been awakened at my throne, which is the right hand of my authority, and put on a heavenly body. Are you in John 14? You are awful quiet today. But it's a sign. Hell is for someone who's not got their soul covered with an eternal body. This is meant to be beyond your intellect. But your spirit knows what I'm talking about. Say to somebody, my spirit knows what he's talking about. The Pharisees had a sin nature consciousness and operated out of their limited ability. That's why they washed cups, ate on certain days, ate certain foods. But God sent himself in himself that he may call himself out of us. Let me put it this way. God sent himself in his son that his son may call himself out of us. We're his body. You better hear that. I said God sent himself in his son that he could call himself out of us. He was the firstborn of many brethren. A heavenly body in the earth. Oh, I can just hear the wheels turning in those little intellectual minds. Let me put it this way. I don't hear them turning. I hear them grinding. This doesn't make sense. Of course it don't make sense. God is above sense. The Pharisees were the best imitation of righteousness could be. The Pharisees were the best imitation there was of righteousness. But they were not righteous. They were religious. And that is what the church is filled up. Still singing, I'll fly away. Where are you flying to? As if heaven is earthly. As if there's some gold street you think you're really. The gold you see on earth is just the material of the invisible. Everything you see in this place is filled with God. It's just the visible replication of the invisible. Oh, I guess I better use some scripture for that. Jesus brought the very nature of the Father to earth in himself, that man could receive the nature and manifest himself. In other words, it's been God's plan since the book of Genesis to manifest his spirit in a human body. Why did God want to do that? Well, let's see. John 14:1-6. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. If in my Father's house are many dwelling places, if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We have used this scripture for generations to get people to stay out of hell. And never looked at what it really meant. How many of you want to see what it really means? To do with the future. Has to do with the present. Where are we seated right now? With him in heavenly places. Our bodies, our natural bodies, are a reflection of the invisible. Can I preach? What is there that has not yet been prepared? First of all, we know he's not building a mansion because all these fairy tale religious stupefied peanut brained lack of revelation orators have given us fairy tales that keep us from manifesting the heavenly on the earth. In other words, they said, let's make heaven earthly rather than earth heavenly. I got, you need to hang with me here for a few minutes. It's important that you understand, to lose this revelation in exchange for anything natural is crazy. And the religious will not accept it. Because they want a fairy tale religion. Is it something that is happening to Christ himself with his body and where he is going to take that body? He is preparing his own body. Of which we are. I am preparing a place for you, my own body. Not a place out in the planets. God, deliver us. Deliver your people from an excuse not to manifest the life. He says, I prepare a place. He is not here in physical body. He went, he said, I send my spirit that I may prepare my body. Sin nature says he's somewhere building something and we're here waiting to go there. God nature says, I'm what he's preparing. You see how blind we've been? Religion blinds and deafens men to the reality of the Spirit. This is what got Paul persecuted. This is what got Jesus crucified, because the religious always want to kill Christ in the earth. I said the religious don't like the idea of Christ in the earth. They want Christ somewhere else so they can go on with their limited ritual. Performance orientation. I am a very difficult man to live with. No man comes to the Father but by me. Think of more than salvation here. No man comes to Spirit but by me. Oh, I got to preach on here. God is not a physical creature. He is not a geographical person. He is omnipresent Spirit. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit. In other words, God is Spirit, and you can't even worship him. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit. God is Spirit. He's not a spirit. He is Spirit. God is not a spirit. He is Spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit, and no man comes to the Father but by Christ, who is now Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Spirit. And the Word was with Spirit. and spirit became flesh. That flesh may enter spirit to become spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was spirit. So the Word that was spirit became flesh, so that flesh could become spirit. No man comes to the Father who is spirit, but by me who is now spirit. In other words, unless you become spirit, you cannot come to the Father, but by me you become spirit. He is not just a spirit, he is spirit. I wish somebody would shout, he is spirit. Those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth or reality. You cannot worship God if you are still a soul in a sin consciousness. Because cows reproduce cows. Horses reproduce horses. And spirit reproduces spirit. Birds reproduce birds, eat after its own kind. Tomatoes reproduce tomatoes. Peaches reproduce peaches. Christ reproduced Christ. You could take your religion and limitation with it and go out and sweat your brow off if you want to, using the power of God to try to prove who God is. But honey, I'm not going to labor that way. I'm going to let the nature of God that flows as spirit manifest himself in my body, for I have glorified him in my body. Why these eschatologists who have all these years and days and numbers and trumpets, and they don't even know trumpet is a voice of the Spirit. There's men making millions of dollars preaching an eschatological timeline out of the sin nature of man. It's a business. It's not the kingdom, it's a business. To put fear into the hearts of sin nature so they'll be deafened to the reality of the Spirit. The soul cries out to be clothed. Colossians 1:15. Turn to Colossians with me. Come on. This is what got Paul in trouble. Hey, if we aren't ticking some people off, we're not doing our job. Y'all think it makes me nervous when people get up and walk out? Some have a legitimate reason. Some got to go to work. But when people get up and turn their nose up, I love that because I know the word is being preached. Colossians 1. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother. He's saying, he and to the saints of the faithful brethren, this message is written to those that are spirit. Now look at the 15th verse. Are you at 15? Let's look at 13 first. For he delivered us up from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus of Nazareth was the visible manifestation of the invisible God. He says, do you know Jesus said his Father was greater than him? Yet in another place, he was equal with him. He said, my Father is greater than I. Yet he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Why was his Father greater than him, yet he was equal with him? because he became flesh, that he then would become spirit. He was lesser than him because he became flesh. But he was equal with him because he was the chosen vessel of himself to take flesh to spirit. Jesus was God's plan for reversing what happened in the Garden of Eden. Spirit put on skin because of sin. Jesus is what takes skin off to put spirit back on man. The reverse of the Garden of Eden happened with Jesus. We are not found naked because we've been given a heavenly body. You ought to touch somebody and say, I want my heavenly body. If you want it, declare it. For if you confess with your body, if you confess with your own mouth, I guess we ought to look at what the Apostle Paul taught. Y'all still here? I'm going to show you the grace of God in your heavenly body. Your body, your heavenly body, is apprehension of grace, because grace is God's nature. Grace is God's nature. Brother, that leg, is it the right? What leg's hurting? The right one? The hip. The power of God is in that chair as you sit down right now. The heavenly power of the kingdom is coming through your body today. It's manifesting itself. Okay, listen to me. Listen, the word of God is healing. Hebrews 1:14, talking about angels. And they are not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for sake of those who will inherit salvation. Angels are not human beings. They are not creatures, but they are ministering spirits. I'm talking about the spirit realm now. I'm taking you into the spirit realm. How many of you want to go into the spirit realm? When you get into the spirit realm for a while, you'll never come out and try to obey a rule again. Because where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let's go into the spirit realm. Angels are ministering spirits. They are not human beings, they are not creatures, but they are ministering spirits. Angels have the ability to take on human substance and human form. They can go into other worlds. One day two angels came with the Lord to visit Abraham, the Lord himself and two angels. And they went and they ate food. They killed a calf and they ate steak. These spirits were eating solid food. Because a spirit has an unlimited ability to transcend limited materiality. The spirit existence is far greater than the human or the plain physical. The men of Sodom said, after these angels went down to Sodom and Gomorrah, they said, let him come in here. We have some plans for him. We want to do something to him, something perverse. They must have been very good-looking men, angels. And the angel said, step aside. He blinded all the men. And he told Lot, get out of here because I'm about to destroy the whole thing. There is so much power in two spirits that are not limited by natural. They can consume the whole natural realm. Spirit realm is unlimited. After the resurrection, Jesus had the ability to supersede physical limitations. He had a heavenly body, a house from heaven. Someone say a house from heaven. In my Father's house, there are many abodes, many dwelling places in this heavenly house. I go to prepare a place for you. When he had departed, he got ready to leave. He had a heavenly body, a house from heaven, and he met with the disciples and ate with the disciples. With this heavenly body, he ate food. Yet he walked through a door that was closed. Because his heavenly house is not limited. When he departed, the robe or the clothing he was wearing did not disappear. when he was taken up into the cloud of witnesses at the shore of Galilee. That robe changed with his body, because material, physical things are subject to the power of the Spirit. Food in his belly didn't drop on the floor, digested, it went with him. Awaken! He was not just a spirit floating around. He was substance. This new creation is substance with the unlimitedness of spirit. This is the new creation. Notice, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, not a renewed creature, a new creature. That tells us the body that Jesus apprehended in the grave is unlike any other body, even the body Adam had. He was a life-giving soul. God breathed life into the dust, and he became a living soul. But the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. In other words, a substance that acts like spirit. And a spirit that acts like substance. Are you here? The early church had this preached to them all the time. But we don't preach the resurrection of the dead. We don't preach what the early church preached. We preached a shallow thing. Can I go on? After the resurrection, he ate, he wore clothes, his sandals went up into the clouds, his clothes went, the food in his belly went. He was not just a spirit floating. He was substance and spirit, a new creation, the firstborn of a new creation. That's what Christianity is. Show us the Father, Philip cried. Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Philip really said, show us Spirit. Because the Father is Spirit. Show us Spirit. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Spirit. Everywhere it says Father, you can replace that word with Spirit. Because God is Spirit. I go to my Spirit, but I will not leave you as orphans. I send you my Spirit. I go to my Spirit, but I pray the Father, I pray the Spirit, send the Holy Spirit. I pray the Spirit, send the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit is a earnest of the inheritance, a tithe of the full Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit baptism, the Pentecostal baptism we have, is just a tenth of the full inheritance of God. That's why we got to go beyond Pentecost to tabernacle. We got to go from having a tenth to having the full inheritance, with it, which is a heavenly body. Passover, the trumpets blow to alarm. Salvation is at hand. Repent. The trumpets sound. Pentecost! The tithe of the inheritance has arrived. And now the final trumpet. There are three blowing of the trumpets. The first blowing is to gather in Passover. Gather for redemption. The second trumpet is for the release of the earnest of God, which is the tithe of His Spirit. We know in part. We prophesy in part because we only have a tenth. But when we become tabernacled, we will no longer know in part. We will no longer prophesy in part. But we will see Him face to face and be known as we are known. When the mature has come, are you here? This is the reason we are going to do His works. This is the reason why greater works shall be done. Because why? Why will greater works be done? Because why? Greater works shall you do because why? Because I go to Spirit. Because I go to Spirit. I am still substance, but I go to Spirit. This takes all the pressure of life off of you. Because the sin nature does not accept, but because. Do you know what because means? It means that which follows is the reason why you're going to do these things. Because means that which is to follow is the reason you're doing them. These things and greater will you do because I go to Spirit. He did something so phenomenal, it's not comprehensible. Where did Jesus have to go to get to the Father? This will help you with your understanding of where heaven is. Where did Jesus have to go to get to Spirit? This is why I'm a hard man to live with. Now, some of you that even know me, I'm a hard man to live with. I'm not saying I'm beating people. It's just that this thing is yearning and groaning in me, saying, why aren't we doing the greater works? If everybody's been baptized in the Holy Spirit, why aren't we even doing the works? We're not even doing the greater works. At last time I checked, He went to the Father. But you cannot manifest Spirit with sin consciousness, with pride consciousness, with performance consciousness, with inferiority consciousness. You cannot manifest with reasoning consciousness. You got to step beyond reason. You got to stand beyond chronological. 2 + 2 = 4. In God's kingdom, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Beyond reasoning. That's why when I say we are the Spirit of God, you better understand something. No man comes to the Father lest he becomes Spirit himself through the Spirit Jesus. You're not dirt. Through His sacrifice, you've been given power to become the sons of Spirit. That means the sons of Spirit are Spirit. I bet you all wondered what this was going to all be about, the unveiling of the revelation of God. Preachers and theologians and doctrinalists and sectarianists have tried to make heaven earth type rather than earth heaven type. I got to preach on. Where was the Father? He said, I go to the Father. Where did He go? Jesus had told the disciples that the Father was in Him. Now He was saying, I'm going to the Father. Is anybody's butt tired? We can stand up and work it out. Because I don't think you want to leave today without a... He said, the Father's in me, but he said, I'm going to the Father. Where was he going? You think you're going to heaven, but Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. Where are you going? If the kingdom of heaven is within you when you die, where are you going? If Jesus' Father was in him, where was he going when he went to the Father? God is spirit, and the Father is spirit, because I go to the Spirit. The Spirit is in me, I am in the Spirit, because the physical man goes into a spirit existence, then you are going to do greater works. Why? Because the Spirit can come back to you. I go to the Father. Where did he go? He went to the Spirit. He went to the Spirit. I told you Christianity is the supreme highest revelation of mysticism. Mystery and spirit mixed together. That's why people are dialing up the psychic hotlines, because there's something groaning in them for spirit. And the church can't give it to them, so the psychics are. The church is so pitiful in its revelation of Christ himself that they don't see that the psychic hotlines are a sign of creation calling out for the manifestation of the sons of God. God, forgive us for our religious, limited, sin-conscious depravity. Still trying to please God by not eating pork. Still trying to please God by figuring out what day is the Sabbath. I got news for you. Spirit can consume any kind of pork. Spirit doesn't cease to worship on one day and start the next. For God is spirit, and they that worship him spirit and in truth. I pray that we would learn to communicate with each other outside of sin consciousness. Do you want to know what sin consciousness is? Is once saved, always saved a doctrine? I won't even discuss that with somebody, because that's entering into a sin consciousness conversation. The person who asked that question has just identified their consciousness. Because once you move beyond sin consciousness and move into divine nature consciousness, Jesus said, anybody who does anything in my name won't for very long speak evil of me. You're either born of the Spirit or you're not. You ain't born part boy, part girl. You may be a baby. Your brain may not be developed. You may not be walking yet. Your physical body may not. See, if we don't preach this, we're never going to see the greater works. We're not going to see the greater works if I don't preach this message right here. We'll not see the greater works. We'll just stay in the cycle of ritualistic religion and revelation. We won't even do the works he did, let alone the greater works, because I go to spirit. He said, I go to the spirit and the spirit comes back to me, and that is the new creation. And we're his body. In other words, the flesh becomes spirit, then the spirit come back to flesh, and now is his body in the earth. John 14:17 says, that is the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Look, with you and in you. Say with me and in me. With me and in me. Say it again. With me and in me. I pray that is illuminated to your spirit. He didn't send the Holy Spirit that you would be baptized just into Christ, but that you would be clothed with him. For you have been baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. He had to go back to spirit in order to be able to come into us by the Spirit. I go to my Father. The day of Pentecost happened after he went to the Father. He breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in them. The Holy Spirit was with them, but then the Holy Spirit came in.